Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Elsen, kicking things off for us tonight. Swedish singer Heinisch with I Feel It from the 2021 album When the City Sleeps. Playing that one because I've been watching a lot of Tubi lately, movies on Tubi, and they're playing this IKEA commercial that uses that song. I went back into the archives and I dug that one out because it's just great work by the art director and music director on that commercial, because it's a beautiful song and it deserves a little extra shine, and it gives me the feels every time I listen to it. We got a busy show for you tonight. We've got the Prairie Joggers, who are set to release their new record next Friday with a release show on Saturday. And then Regina's Marissa Burwell joins me to talk about her upcoming show. She's coming from Regina with an artist from Germany to play The Handsome Daughter on October 9th. But speaking of songs that give me the feels, earlier this week, I was at a Manitoba music event at The Handsome Daughter. Diaphany played an acoustic version of this track from her Solid Gold EP. It's called Somebody Like You. Whew, gave me the feels. And then speaking of acoustic versions of songs, Mustafa just dropped the new album Dunia on Arts and Crafts today. I've played Hand of God earlier this year when the single first dropped, but this morning, a live version of this dropped, and oh my goodness. Stick around here on 101.5 UMFM. Thank you.
but it hits me every time. You pray next to me, right hand holds your left sleeve, turning our heads gently, cause when it ends we fell. And in that warm winter I withered, I just wanna get better. I'll be what you like. And every letter of fire you read me when I'm tired makes me wanna cry. Whose Lord are you naming when you start to break things? It's my only life you hold. And when you left me waiting, I thought, did you do it in the name of God? Just to see some more, and everything is black. Your hands in my past. If I don't wake tomorrow, promise me you'll laugh. And in that warm winter, I'm with it. I just wanna get better. I'll be what you like. And every letter of fire you read me when I'm tired. Makes me wanna cry. Whose Lord are you naming when you start to break things? Who is my only life you hold? And when you left me waiting, I thought, did you do it in the name of God? Did you do it in the name of God?
Right, well, their album Weight of It coming out on October 4th. They'll be celebrating the release at the High and Lonesome Club on October 5th, though. The Prairie Joggers, Cody and Adam, join me on the show. Welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
Good to be here.
So you guys are set to release this, you know, next Friday. How like ready are you for this to be out in the world?
We're very ready. Funny getting to the end of making an album where we're really excited to move on to the next project, honestly. So we're excited to put this album out and promote it and tour and get it out there and kind of get back to songwriting and doing those other things that we love doing.
Yeah, in terms of the life cycle of a record, like you're kind of in a midpoint, right? Because it's the creative process is kind of wrapped and now it's the like performative aspect of it. Like, do you prefer to be like writing songs? Is that kind of where you'd rather be in the process?
I think we get something out of everything, and it is nice at this point we're like finally getting pretty tight with the band with all these songs. But yeah, it's definitely time to kind of reincorporate that this other process.
Like songwriting is our favorite part of the process. That's what we love doing the most. We do love performing live a lot as well. This middle area of, you know, we're kind of doing the whole release ourselves. So doing all of our own press and all of our own, you know, promotions and stuff. So that's kind of the least favorite stage for us.
Right.
But it's necessary.
least artistically rewarding part of it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So what is it about songwriting that appeals to you?
I think it's just what we get the most out of, like emotionally. I don't know what it is exactly, but when Adam and I finish writing a song, when we complete a song, I think that's when I'm like the most excited. I think it's just as simple as that for me. How about you, Adam?
Yeah, I think it's kind of it's the first kind of part of expressing yourself and like putting an idea on paper. And then I don't know how we collaborate together. It's like a very I don't know, intertwining kind of process.
Can we talk a little bit about that process? Like, do one of you like bring something to the other, or do you like sit down together with the intention of writing something? Like, how do you do it?
Right now, we've got a big pool of voice memos that we've got saved up. So just the other month, we finally had the opportunity to go through all those together. So we listen through all the voice memos we have together and kind of sort them into favorites, second favorites, least favorites, and then we part ways and just see what each of us can write to individually and see how each of us can individually further something. And then once we've got something that we like, we get together and we jam through it and we hash through the song and try and get some structure there.
Yeah, and these voice memos are usually like, you know, kind of just writing sessions we've had where we've just kind of come up with music and maybe like a few words together or kind of ideas. Or sometimes it's just like a voice memo of Cody humming something or playing like a guitar progression that can, I don't know, lead somewhere else.
When you're sifting through the voice memos and sorting the songs and kind of ranking them, like what do you do when you have like a disagreement? Like if one of the two of you is like really partial to something and the other's not feeling it?
Well, we've never really spent too much time on anything that the other one isn't interested in. You know, if Cody's like, hey, I got this thing, shows it to me, and I'm like not feeling it, we kind of table it. And then for like trying any different ideas, we basically have kind of come up with a process where we'll just try everything once and see how it feels. And usually by the end of that, once we've tried two different ways, it's like we're pretty usually comes out the other end with a pretty obvious answer.
And if we can't come up with an answer there, we
Move on for
move on.
them. Yeah,
Yeah, we
come back
come
to it.
back. Yeah, come back.
Right. So the material on weight of it, how even of a split is it? Like, is it 50-50?
Yeah, I'd say it's about 50-50. I think when we look back on it, I think Adam probably wrote a few more lyrics than I wrote, and I probably came up with a little bit more of the music than Adam did. But we kind of don't really think about it too much, to be honest. We're both adding a lot and contributing a lot, and I'm not really totally sure if it is a 50-50, but we just kind of say it is and just kind of makes it easier for us. We both have an equal investment in the project.
So you're not precious about ownership.
50-50.
No, not between the two of us,
No, and I
anyway.
mean between the two of us, I think we know which like lines we wrote, and but it's just like I don't know, as a like a public thing, it doesn't really matter.
Right. So then, like, because I read a little bit about the kind of like genesis of some of the material on this. There's, you know, like Motel in Memphis. There's some like grief and heartbreak. Are you able to kind of like separate yourself from like whatever emotional connection you had to a specific thing if the other guy is kind of bringing something different to it?
I think it's a lot of like the subject matter is like pretty relatable. And like we've been like going through a lot of these experiences in one way or another together as well. So I think we can kind of connect on each song. I don't know if I'm answering that quite right, but
Sure, yeah, no, it was an ambiguous question, I'm now realizing, but I was curious in terms of like, you know, when you're writing from a place of emotion, how the other person kind of maybe can tap into that, or like, do you even need to do that?
Yeah, I'm for, you know, some of the grief that was kind of going on through the album was the passing of Adam's mom. And Adam and I have been best friends for a long time now. So Adam kind of going through that grief and losing his mom was something that I was around for and that I was here for him for. So I feel like we kind of, yeah, kind of like Adam said, I think we kind of went through those things together. So I feel like we tap into those things for the stuff that's been written for this project.
Yeah, and we talk through it, so like he kind of knows where I'm at on an emotional level with the songs too. So I think, yeah, that probably helps as well to make sure they're like expressed the right way.
Was it the grief that suggested the title of the album? Like the weight of it was kind of
Yeah,
cynical?
I think that ties into that, and then it's just kind of the album as a whole. It's kind of the jumble of like all of our experiences about getting old, and then losing a loved one, and then there's kind of other exaggerated moments of our past of just kind of more mundane things like I don't know, getting like working a hard job or getting high in a bowling alley or whatever it may be.
That bowling alley being Park Lanes.
Yeah, nailed it.
Guys performed there? I was trying to remember.
We have, yeah, we
Yeah.
performed there a couple times now. The last time we performed there was last November. We love it there.
Yeah, it's a good vibe.
Yeah, it's a good place. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Like, did you test any of the material out, like in shows like that or other places before the, like figuring out what was on the record?
Yes, I'm pretty sure there was like half of the album was kind of old material we've been playing for about a year and just kind of refining, and then there was a handful that we wrote pretty fresh, like kind of going into recording.
Yeah, some of the songs were a few years old for sure, and then yeah, a couple of them were written the summer before we started recording in November, and then there was one or two that we kind of just finished up writing right before we went in that I don't think got performed live. Like Holding Me Down, I don't think we ever performed live. So most of it had been trialed through performance, live performances, which helps a lot to, yeah, performing songs live before you hit the studio really helps hash things out.
Does that clarify kind of like structural things, or like is it okay, these songs resonate with people so we know we can play them and record them?
Yeah, I think both. And I think also maybe just even if you figure out the structure, just like individually, like maybe the lead guitar player kind of hashing out their lead parts and just kind of being able to perform live and connect. Sometimes in the studio with like the time constraints and like spending money, it can become a little stressful and you maybe sometimes overthink things. So I think being able to perform it live and have fun and enjoy it for what it is also helps get the vibe down and helps the individual players figure out what exactly they're doing.
As for the newer stuff, what was it about it that suggested this needs to be on the recording rather than kind of like this needs some time to cook?
I think it was because it was the we were interested in that the most, and it was the most exciting, and we didn't have a ton of songs to choose from too, because we had kind of recorded, six of our other original tunes, and they kind of just all it came together pretty naturally, and like just in the way like kind of some of the themes intertwine as well.
So the Times show, day after the album comes out, are you guys doing like the record front to back, or what's the kind of plan for the night?
No, we're not going front to back. We're just, I think we are playing
Yeah, we'll cut.
everything on the record, but we are playing some of the other songs that we've released. Got a couple covers in there that we really like to play. But we are, I think we do have every song on the
Yeah,
album in the set.
we'll play them all.
Yeah. Not necessarily in order, though.
Is the band as it'll exist on stage, the band as it existed in the studio, or is he good? You enlisted some different folks?
We have. It's the exact same band except a different bass player, Alex McKinnon, who recorded on the project. We're going on tour for 2 weeks right after we put the album out, and he wasn't able to come on the road with us. So we've got Kieran Bjornsson playing bass guitar with us now. But other than that, it's what the same people on the album.
Sure enough. Well, I always close by asking the artist to pick a track off of the record. Since there's I got both of you, if you can each pick a track, unless you're able to come to an agreement on one, I guess. But if you have a reason why you're picking it or an anecdote, would love to hear that.
For whatever reason, well, actually, I think the song that comes to mind right now for me is High and Ramblin',
I'm gonna say the same thing, yeah.
which is the one about the bowling alley that Adam wrote, and it's just the most diff it's just the most standalone song on the album. It's really long. It's like 3 minutes longer than all of our other songs, and when we recorded it, we had the band recording live off the floor. And we got two takes that we really liked, and we used the first half of one take and the second half of the other take, and just a very jam live song, kind of like a psychedelic vibe to it, kind of.
Yeah. And we were having trouble getting the vibe. And I think Brett Hesford, who recorded and mixed the album, like had the suggestion of turning off all the lights, except for, yeah, I don't know, and just got and.
It's definitely the most unique song on the album.
Yeah.
So,
So you're playing in the dark on this one? Like
well, no, very dim lights.
very dim lights with like we have like got hue lights in the jam space where we recorded it. So, like low pink lit lights and I don't know,
I think
very dim.
Alex might have been laying on the floor for a bit of it too. Like,
Sure enough. Well, we'll give that one a listen. The album Weight of It All out next Friday. The album release at the Times the following night. Adam Cody, thanks very much for taking some time and congrats on the new record.
thanks so much, Michael. Thanks a lot for having us on the show.
Thank you. Take care.
mm-hmm. just in case.
Yeah, I've been here since we started.
Okay.
It was recorded. So.
Yeah.
we got it.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. Right before the break, High and Rambling from Weight of It. That is the Prairie Joggers selection from their album out next Friday. Times Change show next Saturday. The following week, October 9th, the handsome daughter Marissa Burwell comes to town from Regina. We are going to talk to her, or rather, I talked to her, and we're going to hear it in just a few minutes. But before that, brand new single out today from Sebastian Gaskin. Earlier this week, I believe he received a SOCAN award. Congrats to Sebastian, and kudos on the new track as well. This is Brown Man here on 101.5 UMFM.
I am a brown man, my skin in white. They could pull me from the wreckage and still shoot me in the light. I'm not an animal, I'm not a savage. I'm just a human being who needs to heal from heartache and the sadness. I am a brown man.
Making her way from Saskatchewan to Winnipeg on October 9th to play the handsome daughter. Marissa Burwell joins me on the show. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing so good.
Good to hear. So you're playing Breakout West.
Yes. Yeah, I am.
So what's your kind of like relationship to festivals like that or to like kind of industry festivals?
Honestly, I have a positive relationship with Breakout West. I feel like I've met a lot of awesome people. I've played two other years, like in Calgary and in, and in Whitehorse. So Breakout West was one of the first like festivals showcases that I attended when I started making music and putting it out. And then I've just made some lasting connections. So I'm a fan. Yeah, I'm a fan for sure.
So does like those connections, does that come in handy in terms of like making bookings like for touring and stuff, or just
totally? Kind of... Yeah, totally. I met my label, my like they're based in Germany, but they work with different Canadian bands. So I met like label representatives at some showcase. I guess I met them not at Breakout West. I met them at Reeperbahn in Germany a couple years ago, but they were at the Breakout West in Calgary, and we kind of reconnected, and then I ended up putting my EP out with them, and then I'll be putting my next LP, like full length record, out with them. So yeah, I mean, like that, I've met like some sync agents there that I stay connected with, and I'm trying to think of, there's more, but yeah, and even like meeting people for like festivals. So like Winterruption, I had a meeting with someone, and then I invited them to come see me perform, and maybe that helped me play Winterruption last year or the year before. You don't actually know, but it's like you're making connections, and it feels like it's helpful.
So is Devil Duck how you came to connect with Dear Anna, who's touring with you?
So yeah, Deanna's going to be playing in Winnipeg with me, and last fall we did a run of shows in Germany before I played, or no, after I played Reeperbahn. No, before I played Reeperbahn, which is a festival in Hamburg. And so yeah, we just got connected through Devil Duck, and but at the end we had a lot of fun, and at the end of the tour last year, we're like, oh, we should do this in Canada now. So now she's coming and playing in Canada for the first time.
So, like, kind of almost like a home and home. Like, you go around her place, and then now she's coming around your place. Like, setting it up. Like, what kind of logistics are involved in getting someone over from Europe to play with you and to like figure out this kind of scheduling?
Yeah, so honestly, we were lucky to work with a booking agent for this tour. So we kind of were like, this is the time we were thinking, and then they reached out and booked like the venues and the exact dates and stuff. So when I went to Germany, I didn't do a lot of the labor of like creating the tour. I was just like, okay, your job was to get here. And that's kind of the same thing with Anna for this one, where it's like it's her job to get here, and then it's going to be planned for her when like she's here. So it's been a nice trade-off.
So if you're co-headliners, how do you figure out like who plays last or like how a set goes?
Yeah, so because it's logistically makes more sense for me to be bringing a full band, whereas bringing a full band from Germany is expensive and like not maybe the best use of band money, especially like your first time coming over. So we're just doing it that Anna's going to be opening, like is going to be the first headliner of the night, and I'll be second, just because I'm going to be playing with the full band. So just like energy wise, like it's maybe sometimes not hard, but it maybe makes more sense to do like the single act and then full band. So that's kind of what we did, and it was just like a joint decision. We also, like when we went to Germany, it was just all of us. There was three of us, and just on our own, no band, and we just rotated every night. So we talked about doing that, but we ultimately just decided to have Anna start each night, and I'll close it off.
So touring with the full band, obviously when you write songs, I'm guessing you don't necessarily write them with the full band initially.
Yeah, no.
So do you like create your songs with the thought of like these should stand on their own, like if it's just me, but like I want to have a band behind me?
That's something that I've definitely been focusing on more so this record. I think each release has been really like a big learning opportunity. My first EP came out in 2019, and I hadn't made music with other people, or like even like really shown music to others before then. So I feel like each recording process is really different, and just I'm learning a lot. So I feel like this record is definitely, I always have written the songs pretty much on my own, and then just brought it to the crew, besides maybe like one or two. But this record, I'm really trying to be more mindful of wanting them to stand on their own, just knowing that how I feel playing acoustic, just like solo, some other songs where maybe that wasn't my like original thought process, and I lean on the band a lot. So just really wanting that to like come through with this record. All, yeah.
What was your genesis as a songwriter, like before you started showing songs to other people?
I started writing maybe at the beginning of high school, like actual songs that weren't like full songs, and they were just for myself working through things that maybe I just like didn't have anyone to talk about things with, and that just continued to be a way that I coped through feelings. And once the song was down, I like felt like I'd like done a whole cycle, or like I'd healed through that thing, and I feel better after. And that's still the same thing. So I started playing. I got the guts to go and join my music class in grade 12 of high school. Like that was the first time I'd ever played in front of people. I made a friend that like wrote songs, so we started to kind of write together here and there. And then I just saw friends in the local scene in Regina playing their shows, and just me like, oh, I want to try and do that. Like I want to be able to do that. And so I just set a goal that I was going to play one live show, and then I kind of went from there, where I was like, now I have two EPs and a full length, and I'm working on my second full length. So it's evolved.
So it was seeing others you knew doing it that kind of convinced you you could too.
Yeah, like I was writing before, but it was seeing other people perform that made me feel like, hey, maybe I can do that too. Like, like they're being brave. Maybe I can be brave. They look like they're having fun and they're hanging out with their friends. And so, yeah, I was definitely going to local shows, seeing friends. Like one of my roommates was in a band, and I was just like, oh, I want to do that. So that was a big part of it for sure.
You
Yeah.
mentioned, as a songwriter, you're processing like feelings or thoughts through the songs and then kind of like coming to grips with them. When it comes to performing them afterwards, like, are you revisiting those thoughts or are you just kind of like free of them at that point?
It depends, because some songs that I am performing for the first time like a year after I've written them, like maybe it's taken me a year to like totally like watch out what the song is going to be. And so sometimes I can feel separated, and I almost feel like, I don't know what like the proper word would be, but I feel like in control, or like I feel like a sense of power in something that I found struggle in before when I perform it. And then other times, like it'll be, pardon me, like still a little bit fresh, and maybe I haven't done the full circle by the time I'm performing it. Like maybe it's I'm working through it still, but usually I'm not, it's not feeling like a trigger to like sing a song, or like I'm not totally revisiting it in the moment. I'm wondering on this new record if there'll be like one or two that I'll have to work through and kind of figure out like, okay, like will it feel cool to sing this live and that kind of thing. But I haven't had an issue with that yet, so I think it'll just continue to be like a positive thing to play it live.
You mentioned the forthcoming record. Obviously, you released like EP, then a full length EP, and then what sounds like another full length. Like, has that been an intentional thing in terms of like the consistent kind of like length or like scope of each project?
Honestly, no. Like, so the first EP was just like getting something out there, and then it just was like, I just decided, like, I'm just gonna do a full length now. And then I partnered up with my label, and when I went on my tour last fall, they had mentioned that they would like to be able to like put something out at the time of the tour, and I didn't have a full length record prepared to be put out. So it was just kind of one of those things where I was like, wanted to promote something while I'm on my tour. I had these songs that I was excited about. Let's put them out. And then now it's just watching. I'm like, okay, it's time for another full length. So that's just kind of what I'm working on now. And yeah, so I guess it's just been what's made sense in the moment, I think.
Right. So the thought behind like a full length, like obviously it sounds like, the EP was like, hey, I don't have anything out. I want to get something out. And then that like tour based EP decision making, but the full length, what's that like thought process for you that goes behind a full length? Like, are you thinking conceptually or like a specific period of time as a songwriter? Like, how are you kind of shaping a full length?
Yeah, I think I listen to artists talk about how like their process and that kind of thing. And sometimes I wish I was a bit more like conceptual, or I like have this desire to have a structure or like a specific answer, but I also am coming to terms that it's also cool to not. And also sometimes you like realize after you've written all the songs that there was this theme or this whatever, like an, it's like a post creation epiphany. But in this case, I'm really just like writing what I'm feeling, like what I'm, what's happening. I'm trying to revisit, like I'll have always have like a note on my phone of just like random feelings that spark something, like whether it's a line that comes to my head or whatever. So there's some things that I'm writing, like I'll write a song in one sitting, or I'll revisit a lyric from like a past feeling and kind of see like, okay, that this isn't how I was feeling then, but like how can I relate to that now? And then a big part of this record too is exploring co-writing. I haven't really co-written with anyone besides my band, composition-wise, before this record. And this record, I've worked with a couple friends that I've met over the years, Cassie De Silva from Toronto, and Sam Lynch from Vancouver, which I'm big fans of both of their work. So it's been really cool to write with others and just it being something that's really exciting and fruitful.
You did a co-write with Lana Winterholt too, right? Am I mistaken in that?
Lana did some extra production on Kiss Her.
Ah,
Yeah.
okay. That was her
Yeah.
name then.
She did some harmonies on there and she also added a beautiful clarinet and some whistles. Yeah. So she's awesome. I would like to do like a full, like we did that from afar. I sent it to her and she added those from afar, but I'd love to travel over to Winnipeg and do like a full song or a couple songs or do writing or, you know, in that world.
For sure. You mentioned listening to other artists talk about their work and their process. I know in a few interviews I've read, you've cited both Haley Blaze and Phoebe Bridgers as influences. Like, how conscious are you of like who influences you as a creator?
I think this record I feel maybe a little bit less conscious. Like I think that I'm really trying to I've been I don't let me rephrase let me reset that. Yeah, I think it just depends. I mean like sometimes I'll be like cautious where conscious enough where I'm like I'm listening to a record, I'm like, oh I want a song to feel the way I feel when I listen to this song by this artist, whether it's like, yeah, Haley Blay or whoever. It's like, oh, that just like I just feel something. And other times it'll be like, oh, I really love the sound of like the acoustic guitar in this, or I like how Phoebe has the guitars going backwards, or just different things like that. So I think that I'm conscious of it, and but also maybe not as not that conscious.
So it kind of ebbs and flows as to like which tracks you're thinking about that kind of influence versus just kind of taking it all in.
Totally. And I think definitely like in the production stage is when I start to think of influences more. Like I think I'm writing, not really thinking that way. And then during the production, I'm like, okay, thinking about sounds that I've heard on other records that have provoked an emotion or like a feeling, or that I've been like, oh, I want to hear that again. Because I think also when I first started, I was so just focused on lyrics and like other people's music too, and create like as I've gotten farther into like creating my own sounds, I've finally come to be like, okay, I'm listening. Oh, I like the drums, or I like this or that. Whereas before, I wasn't really focusing on that. I was so focused on lyrics and vocals.
So the like seed of the song is kind of like you, and then like you sprinkle some water on it from like other sources, like when you're kind of fleshing it out.
Yeah, totally. I'll bring it to my band, Christine Miss, Madison Nickel. Tom Duffy's been a part of creating and recording as well. So I just also had Sam Lynch come and produce a couple songs for the upcoming record too. So that was cool. But yeah, so it's often I'll bring the bones and then we kind of like put them together as a group and see what we want to hear with it.
So on the tour, are you playing like new stuff that isn't yet on the record, or like is going to be on the record, let's say?
Yeah, definitely. We're still in the recording process, but just want to kind of feel things out and see how some of the new stuff feels. It won't be all new stuff, but we'll definitely throw in some and try and get familiar and see what feels good and maybe get a little bit of feedback. We'll see. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about the new ones. It just feels exciting to play new tunes when you've been playing the same stuff for a while. So it's just fun and exciting to be able to do that for sure.
Does playing it out like give you a better sense of the song, like what it exists like in the world versus kind of in your head?
I think that I get a better perspective on how I actually feel about the song too. I think that's a big part, is that how do I feel when I play it is a big telltale of if I want to be putting it out. If it's not a song I'm excited to play, or if it's a song that I'm like, oh, it's just if I'm not stoked on it, I can feel it in the set. And other times I'll be playing it by myself and I'm like, oh, I'm not sure what this can be. And then my band plays and they're like doing their own thing and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I really like this song. Like this, like with the band, this feels really good and like it makes me feel something having them play it. So I definitely get some clarity when I'm playing it live with the band.
Well, October 9th at the Handsome Daughter, folks will get a chance to hear some of the unreleased stuff. But before we let you go, Marissa, I want to get you to pick a song from you, something you've released. And if I can get a reason why you're picking or an anecdote about it, we'd love to hear that.
I think I'd like you to play Coward. It was from my EP I put out last fall. I have a really positive memory with like the making of the video of this song, and I just really love the tune in the sense that it feels good to play and it I feel proud of it. It's just about when like wanting to trust how your body feels and how you feel, whereas I feel so often we can like feel like intuition or we can feel something in our body, but we go the other way because we're just choosing not to trust ourselves. And so it's just kind of like calling myself out. Like it's Coward is referencing me and challenging myself, being like, speak up, say what you want, say what you mean. So yeah, I choose that one and I encourage folks to check out the video because it features like a high platform diving board and a little girl getting the guts to jump off, and I think it's a fun one.
Well, I'll link to the video in the show notes for the episode. Marissa, thanks very much for taking some time. Best of luck at Breakout West and safe travels coming to Winnipeg.
Thank you so much. It was great to chat.
Showing my teeth too often. Thank you.
Got countless thoughts on my mind, like where will that take me and how will it break me down if I get scared? That's when I burst open. That's when I feel the pull of the ocean. The right love will help me embrace the emotion. Take me to places that move in slow motion. Each morning when I come alive, coffee and dogs by my side. Where will it take me?
and the Bullhorn Singers with a new single called Powerful. That's Ruben of Ruben in the Dark with Calgary's The Bullhorn Singers, a collaboration that dropped today in honor of the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation on Monday, a.k.a. Orange Shirt Day. We will be closed, of course, as a station, but there will be some special programming on the day of. Before Ruben and the Bullhorn Singers, we heard from former Manitoban, Liv Wade. They used to live up north, now make their home out in BC. It's a single called Slow Motion. And we started that set off with Marissa Burwell and Coward, her new single. My thanks to Marissa. Reminder, you can catch her at The Handsome Daughter October 9th. Gonna change things up a little bit sonically as we head towards After Eight Radio. New single from Hildegard. This is a collaboration between Helena DeLand, who is no stranger to this program, and Uri. Their project, the electronic project, they teased it with a new single out this week called Cruel. There's a video visualizer that features some suspect first aid handled on the side of a soccer game, but great track nonetheless. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
Da-da-da-da-da. I get low every time you go. I don't know every time you go. Every time you go, I don't know the way to show. Every time you go, I don't know the way to show. Every time you go.
Everything in nature obeys the laws of change. Transformation dictates that nothing can nor will stay the same. Contrary to popular belief, change doesn't hurt. It's our resistance to change that entertains the pain. Changing styles, changing minds, changing seasons, reasons, and paradigms. Logics, emotions, locations, and oceans. Perceptions, notions, and paths that are chosen. Change is all intersecting, all interwoven. So ready or not, here it comes. Something no human is exempt from. Silent and swift, from dawn to dusk. Change is a gift. Change is a must. Change your circumstances, change your condition, changing titles and positions, lovers, friends, colors and trends, change of the heart from deep within. All we do and say has an expiration date and will soon come to pass. Change guarantees new opportunities and ensure the darkness we endure won't last. Changing your frequency changes your vibration. Higher consciousness can change policies of any world nation. Laws, opinions, directions, and feelings. Mental, physical, and spiritual healing. All rearranged, becoming notes and melodies of a song we live called Change. Change. Change.